Hey, everybody, it's Libby again with the Libby DeLucian podcast. And I actually have a really great friend on today. Kaden, why don't you tell us about yourself, what you do, and we're going to jump in to going deep.
Yeah, Kaden Hutchins, CEO of O2V. I help building service contractors leverage insights to acquire, retain, and expand their commercial contracts. So been at the game for, almost 12 years this year. The business itself has been in business for 22 years this year. So been around the block when it comes to software, and especially software in the cleaning industry. So lots and lots of lessons learned in the adaptation of technology, or, I mean, outside of technology, the cleaning industry in and of itself, there's not much that changes about it. Cleaning 1,000 years ago versus today, the concept's the same. So.
Love it. You know, for all of our listeners, that maybe you're not an entrepreneur, maybe you're working for another business or software or cleaning company. Kaden, if you wouldn't mind to share your story about how'd you become CEO, I think it's like an amazing story. It's like the dream. For even an owner, it's a dream.
Yeah. I mean, it's at heart, I am an entrepreneur. And so everyone has an employee, some way, shape, or form in time in business that's an entrepreneur. And if you catch it early enough and you keep growing them, that intrapreneur can become an entrepreneur for your business. And it took me years to realize that I could achieve my entrepreneurial dreams within the business that I work for. But it has to be a partnership between you and the owners of the business. And the last 12 years, we've gone through an insane story together. I mean, I started every single one of my employees. They're like, one day you got to write a book called From Poop to Prez. Because one of the first things I did role-wise was picked up dog poop. I was the executive assistant to the CEO. And that was one of my tasks one time to buy back his time. If anyone's familiar with Dan Martell's book, that he deployed buy back your time pretty well, whether it was, you know, stuff at his home life personally or stuff for the business. It started really a lot of personal stuff that I just stepped in and helped him with. I mean, I was 21 years old. And over the course of like 18 months, I did more business stuff. I became like a data entry manager for the software while still being his executive/personal assistant. I was like a jack of all trades. But then I like really got serious about the business. I was going to enter school. I had a full ride scholarship to a local university here in Utah. And due to funding and changes, it was on deferment for a 2-year span. And while I was on that 2-year, funding got cut. And I came back and found out that my full ride scholarship was taken. And so at that point, the whole entrepreneurial side of me was like, I'm going to go start my own business then. I'm not sure if I'm going to do this college thing. And in the end, that CEO just kept believing in my talents and abilities and just kept pushing me to do more, to be more. So long story short, of the next few years, it was from data entry manager/executive assistant to straight into director of sales and marketing while being an account executive and hybriding both of those responsibilities and figuring out what a sales rep and software meant and overseeing marketing. Did that for a while. Then I became the executive vice president and then president CEO. And just every single moment, it was an opportunity to level up. So there were different things that the owners wanted and that the company needed. I think that's very clear. Even the owners saw perhaps the difference of the passion, understanding, desire to run their business. Not that they didn't have, that it was just different. And they saw a better outcome with me taking the reins. And that was a lot of trust to put into me. And in the end, it's been quite the ride. It's been an incredible journey. And my fulfillment as an entrepreneur is being fulfilled, even though it's not my founding company.
I love this story. I think my husband's an entrepreneur and, you know, we've been working together and man, what they can help you do in a business and take over things. And it's, you got double buy-in. And I think that you said it, right? It's what the company really needed. And so that's one layer deep. And I want to get into some of those questions. But I think before we do that, from that perspective, I see a lot of owners, I don't even know if the right word is intimidated or scared or put off by employees who want to be business owners, employees who have that entrepreneur gene, especially in residential cleaning. Like in residential cleaning, they're like, no, don't hire them. They'll steal your company.
Yeah.
I'm different in software because we own WootRecruit and sell ConvertKlean. Almost all of our software employees have like side gigs. Like one of our new employees, she likes to make furniture and she sells it. Like another one does car washes on the weekends because it gets them out of the house. Like they all have an entrepreneur spirit. But when I was over here in cleaning, it's kind of like, no, don't do that. They're going to steal from you. Just imagine, especially in cleaning. I don't know if it's the same in commercial, like where they're put off by people who have that, you know, entrepreneur or entrepreneur gene, or even if they breathe the word, well, one day I want to own my own business. A lot of people will just absolutely not hire them.
Yeah.
But just imagine the help you could get as the owner, like support and help. And this could be why a lot of us sometimes feel alone or that our employees are disconnected, because we push that down. We're not open to the thought of having entrepreneurs on board helping us build a company.
I mean, every entrepreneur has strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And that level of like execution and ownership, I've seen it time and time again. If someone's scared of like, I'm not going to hire them, I'm not going to invest in them because of X, Y, and Z. I mean, the reality is that there's exceptional talent that you aren't good at, that someone else is.
Oh, I'm not good at a lot of things.
And if you can leverage what they're good at and they can get their fulfillment, there's, as an entrepreneur, a lot of people cross into that road, at least in my experience, when they're fed up with working in a corporate environment, a boss who isn't caring, who isn't open to change, and who is selfish and greedy. So if you as an owner are willing to be open and not be selfish and greedy and share a bit of, because eventually if you're scaling, like these are prime people to become your top chief officers once you get large enough. Right.
I'm sad right now because my EA is now in marketing.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I don't want to lose her. But it's it's like what the company needs right now.
Yeah. Like, and my executive assistant, Kara, she is phenomenal. But like, I already know this about her. And we have open conversations. Like, she has outgrown many aspects of the executive assistant role that I'm trying to figure out how to keep her fulfillment. And, you know, is there a chief of staff role, you know, as we grow that becomes and makes sense, that adds to that fulfillment? Because then at that point, like, yeah, she shouldn't be doing yay tasks for me. And so it's understanding their pathway, their career pathway, to get to that as quickly as possible. And if you aren't scaling and growing and dreaming big enough to encompass them, then they will have to move on. May not even have to, but they will choose to move on. Make it a good experience, lifelong relationship with them.
Yeah, my EA, she's going to college for marketing. Like, I mean, it's only natural that she's like, I want to try it. I want to work in here and we need more help and we need more support. She wants to do it.
Yeah.
Like, why not let her do it and coach her and groom her and train her? And she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I love your story. And we both said it, right? It's what the business really needed. And I think sometimes, you know, this is that one layer deep, like going down to actually realizing what the business needed versus what I want, right? The business needs Marilyn's help and support in marketing, but what I wanted was to keep her to myself.
Yeah.
So I want you to think back like on a time when like, what was a stage, and maybe it's the story of what you just told us where the business really needed you and the owner saw that and they were willing to make that move. Right. But I think in business, especially with entrepreneurs, because we, you know, the CEOs and the founders, we don't have anybody telling us what to do. But it's one of those things where like, when's a time when you can recall that you had to make that hard decision and you had to choose what the business really needed versus what you wanted?
Yeah. Obviously, I mean, in my own story, there were aspects of that and changes in my role continually up until my current role. But I'm thinking of like, now that I've been in the CEO seat for several years between being president and CEO, I've crossed a few of those roads. And when here's a prime example. Like, I started off doing, it's kind of funny, it's like some internal employees back then are like, from janitor to CEO, the classic article, because I was the janitor for our little offices for our, you know, 40 some odd employees. And so I was going around, there was nothing official for cleaning, and it was just our CEO's executive assistant doing that as well. It was just another task that he did. And so people saw somehow the right-hand man of the CEO just kept getting the opportunities. And so a part of that created like deep friendships because I was just an executive assistant. I was hearing all the talk on the front line of employees about what they did or did not like about the business and the problems they had with managers and gossip, right? I heard it all. And knowing that all, as I stepped up into leadership, they were still that level of friend. And the hardest moment was somehow trying to break that as now being the boss, right? And it doesn't mean you can't be friends with your employees. My best friend in life is my COO right now, Sam Clayton. Him and I play hockey together. We were friends a little bit before he actually joined the team as a sales rep back in the day. So it does work. But there's this level of accountability and expectation that, like, who do you have to become or who does the business have to become to, like, make that shift? And that was so hard for me. I lost some employees that I cared deeply for, but they just weren't right for the business anymore. And it was such a hard conversation to have because I was the janitor. It was difficult, to say the least.
Yeah, I just had this same conversation with someone who is the owner, right? The CEO, and she's still communicating with the cleaning technicians. Mm-hmm. And but she just lost, like, she's been having high turnover. And I told her, I said, you need to track everyone who left and why did they leave?
Yeah.
And she comes back and she's like, Libby, they all left because of me. She goes, it's me. She goes, but how's it me? And I said, you know, at levels when we're changing and we're growing and we're up leveling and we have to become this boss, sometimes we need bumpers between us and the rest of the staff, right? Because, you know, we're trying to grow ourselves to fit what the company needs.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I always call it bumpers, like when you go to the bowling alley, sometimes different people, departments, right, need bumpers from you. Because you can disturb a department, you can cause chaos. Maybe they don't understand the way you communicate, if you're too direct. Like, and she goes, but I want to have a relationship. But I said, you know, but what does the business really need? It doesn't matter what you want. Yeah. It's what does the business need? And she's, you know, she was like, oh, you're like, you're right. Like, I need to, she already had someone for the position, but she didn't want to give it up.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, when you were a cleaner, because she cleaned for many years, you were there with them. You were in the trenches with them and they have that respect with you. But then as you grow yourself to run this business, that relationship, that dynamic can change. And we just have to be observant, like, of it. For me, I had to write a document and it's like the unofficial guide to working with Libby. Because I've had people quit because I didn't wish them happy birthday. Mm. I've had people quit because they're like, you talk to everybody at the conference, but at the end of the night when we go back to like relax, you don't want to talk to me. And I'm like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And they just didn't understand. And yeah, I had to write that document. And now that's one of the things when people come in to work with us is like, hey, here's how I communicate. So it doesn't seem like, you know, I'm purposely trying to offend someone or not pay attention to somebody. So I do love that story as far as, you know, what we want and what where we're going to go as far as the CEO. So that being said, how did you coach yourself through that? Like when you say, I have to step back now, I can't have that relationship. What were some of the things that you used to help coach yourself through that? Did you use mentors? Because I'm sure it wasn't easy and I'm sure that there was gossip.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's still good today. Naturally happens. First and foremost, yeah, when was this? I spent $10,000 of my own money for a mentor. And she was incredible. And it was for an entire year. And I got to meet with her once a month about was and all.
What did you, one, I love that. That's amazing. And did you tell them that you did it? Did you tell like your boss or the company that you did it? Or were you just
The fact, I just started, you know, going in. I saw the opportunities like, look, either this is going to help me level up in what I'm supposed to be doing, either for the company or inspiration for myself or my leadership skills as a whole. Like, I invested in myself. I didn't wait for the company to be like, hey, send me off to this conference for training or whatever. Like, it was like, what am I going to do to level up? So I spent 10 grand and, you know, after the year was almost up and they had learned that I had done that, they gave me a smaller percentage back as like a reimbursement, as like a thank you. And that was like, oh, okay. And then at that point, when I started getting the different promotions to different roles, they saw that sacrifice that was then being applied to the business. So to answer your question, like, absolutely, it took a mentor to see that, like, no one can self-figure it out, truly. Like, I've never met someone that just has never had a mentor, someone that challenges them. And now, to the point, whether it was initially by myself or now being in my role, that it's an investment I expense from the company, I've invested $250,000 into...
I was like, we're in one of the same groups, so I know how much it costs.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, how much do you pay?
Yes. But, you know, probably over the last decade, close to $250,000 in different coaching programs, initiatives. And it, whether it was personal for me or the dual benefit in a different role I was serving capacity, I had spent $18,000 one time on a coaching program directly related to sales for a year to get our sales team in a better place. But, like, at the end of the day, it taught me, alongside the employees I would employ it for, it taught me everything I needed to become and to do. For those, it takes time first and foremost. Like, you can't just go spend money and not show up. So commit the time and the money to become someone new.
So I love that, right? You decided what you really needed. You cut the BS. You actually went and invested your own money to uplevel yourself. Yeah. Can I ask you, like, when you hired her, what exactly were you trying to achieve? Like, was it more like leadership or how to communicate, or was there something specific you were looking to get from her?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a constant because I still am looking for some of the same things that nearly 10 years ago I had hired someone to help me through. But
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's like, are you ever going to learn? You're still, no. But for me at that point, I hadn't been given the leadership roles I hold today as much. And some of them I was, like, brand new in. And so I wanted something different out of life. It wasn't a business coach. It was a life coach.
Ah.
And who was business savvy and had thoughts and ideas around business. But it was really like, who did I need to become? And it was about my own belief systems and, you know, at moments felt like personal counselor kind of moments, whether it was about my marriage, because I had been, let's see, 2016, I had been married for 2 years at that point. I got married in 2014 and that was really new. My wife had her stories, you know, that she came with, and I had my stories. We still have our stories that we tell ourselves, but helping me look through different lenses. And I'd say that even through some of the best business coaching that I've ever received, or the advice like from Dan Martell, mm-hmm. has been the most impactful in my personal life. That does end up translating to business day in and day out as well, you know, because they're intertwined. There's no work and life balance. It's a work
there's no balance.
Life integration, right?
That's something someone's trying to tell you that's a far-fetched.
Yeah, it's integrated. Emotions don't shut off as soon as you clock in of the argument you just had with your spouse an hour earlier.
That, and that's true whether you're an owner or not.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some employees right now struggling because it's all personal and it bleeds over.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I love that it was a life coach. So I think so many people, right, are chasing that. Like, how do I achieve that? How do I get there? And they run off and they hire someone. But I don't think, you know, we really as business owners have a clear understanding of coaches or what they're coaching, right? Mm-hmm. But you had it, and you're like, a life coach. It's how I show up. It's the person I need to be, right? And then there's leadership coaching, which is how do I show up for the business, right? Yeah. How do I show up for the business? How do I show up and lead? And then there's business coaching, which is like the model the business runs on. Like, how is the business running? And I think sometimes they get all like blurred, or we just hire somebody off of like a recommendation or somebody versus like really thinking about, do I need to worry about how I show up or how I lead or the business foundation itself? And no, I like that. So, that being said, the hard thing that you had to do was make that investment. I think that's, I wouldn't say rare, but rare to get an employee to invest $10,000 of their own money. So it is rare. You know, every once in a while, our Rexy does our videos and edits and reels, and she'll be like, oh, I took a class, and oh, I bought a software. And I'm like, why don't you tell me? I will pay for the class or the software.
Yeah.
And she just does it on her own. And she's always wanting to uplevel her skill. Yeah. And her craft. So they are out there at different levels. It doesn't necessarily have to be 10,000, but be observant and listen to what certain people are doing. on their 100% free time.
And today, like, AI makes it so much cheaper and available to access.
Oh yeah.
Self-improvement. Like, we pay for like ChatGPT licenses for quite a bit of our employees that need it. But if I was just an employee in life, even in a services business, heck, even in a marriage, it's the safest place to go unload on something, get your yucky frustration out, even in a conversation, and then have something that can't present emotion back, really.
Oh, help yeah. you process. And he's always so nice to me. I call him Chad, and he's my secret boyfriend. And he'll be like, Libby, that's a great idea. I'm like, thank you.
Right. Like, wow. But like, $20 a month, like, employees don't realize how much they often wait on an employer to be like, well, if I'm going to use that for the business, then the business should pay for it. And so then they don't get it. And you could operate that way. But more often than not, like, I'll also go back. It wasn't just software, coaching, life coach, whatever it was. I was very aware of the business financial state, obviously, through the years. But I saw opportunities that needed to be addressed, whether it was taking out a team to lunch, and I would pay for it, even if we didn't have budget. So it's like, it is rare, but man, that's gotten to me where I am today is because I was willing to invest and personally sacrifice for it.
I have a question. You brought up a really good statement. Like, you saw financials in areas of growth or issues that needed to be addressed. Did you, you know, whether you were the EA or in the sales role or in marketing, did you address them even if they were not as the founder, not the founder yet, but not as the CEO yet, but even as an EA, did you address them? Did you bring them up?
Yeah. You know, in the beginning, whatever jurisdiction I was given was just like, how can I fix this? How can I explore this? And I remember one time I went to a conference and I was inspired in one certain way to like bring some principles back to the business. And I had met with like other managers and we were doing things. And I remember the CEO sat down and we were kind of presenting some of our thoughts. And he's just like, I'm not sure this is like the right direction. I appreciate like the sacrifices you guys have made and the time and energy to like think through this, but I just don't know if it's the right thing. That was like, dang. But he wasn't mad.
Yeah.
He was just like, how dare you waste a bunch of time and resources on this? It was like a course correction. I'm like, I just don't know if this is the right thing. But every single one of us, particularly me at that time, got to learn. So that was another thing that I then amplified tenfold. That was a minor experience behaviorally for the company. And I amplified that tenfold to bring it back to the business when I stepped into the role as a leader, was to invest time and energy into your employees to go learn, to upskill, and find ways to improve and to embrace change and to make that culturally something new and foundational to the business moving forward that I was then building.
So I have a question. I want you to give all of us, or not, I have a question on some input that you could give all of us owners, right? All of us, so that we don't turn into those, you know, bossy, uptight, close-minded founders. What is the best suggestion you could give these us owners out there to pull this out of our employees or see if encourage it? Like, sometimes we don't know it's there, and sometimes maybe the employee don't know it's there until given the opportunity. So what are a couple tips, or what could you suggest that like we do to see if someone has this in them? Because sometimes, like you said, you didn't tell nobody you invested. Yeah. Like Rexy, our video editor, she didn't tell me. She's like, oh yeah, I just signed up for a course for that. I was like, oh, I want to do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But what can we do to kind of pull that out of someone or see if there's that spark so that we can continue to feed it?
Yeah. I'd say the first thing is like, look for those indicators of an employee saying like, oh, I did this. I've spent time here. I personally spent money on this course and here's what I'm learning. Like in one-on-ones with employees, you should be able to dig into. You know,
I actually just had an employee tell me this yesterday, that they just took a course on how to sell on social media.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, wow, they're investing their own time and money. Okay. So how do I leverage that? Leverage is one of my favorite words.
I love it.
And so that's number one, is like, look for those, because those are obvious indicators. The not so obvious indicators where employees kind of need a push is like, create a culture of it's okay to spend company time and maybe even some company money to explore, to be educated. So right now, obviously AI is the center of the tech world, right? And everything surrounding it and what it can do and the scary nature behind it. What we do, I mean, everyone should be using AI in their jobs every day in the tech space anyway. But what I make sure happens, we call them AI Fridays. Every single Friday for the last 3 hours of your day, which is the most unproductive.
Yeah, we're just waiting for 5 o'clock.
Right, is creation time. Like, go create with AI. Go look at what is possible with AI. Go learn about AI and your role and how it's going to potentially replace your role. Get ahead of that. What aspects of my role are replaceable with AI in the next 18, 24 months? Okay, what can I be doing today to become the leader of an AI agent instead of just the recipient of someone else replacing me because my boss figured it out before I did? All of those things. Like, so culturally was the second piece. Go make it a safe place to explore on company dime and time.
For my listeners, I highly suggest you have a budget for learning. Most yes. P&L statements don't have that. And, you know, one of the greatest things we did was, well, it's where I met Caden, was join SaaS Academy and then Boardroom. And in Boardroom, I get to bring my employees with me, not all of them, my leadership team. And the amount of investment and money we made in that, and they knew that, they were just like, they loved to participate and they loved the groups and the wisdom circles. But one, you have to have that budget to say, hey, this is what we're going to spend. What do we want to spend it on?
Yeah.
And not just that, but we also have to give them the time and space to, like, they can't just be busy doing busy work all day long, because then there's no room for learning on yeah. company time. And that's okay, like, for them to learn on company time.
Yep.
So I love the, do you do it every Friday or like once a month on Friday?
Every Friday. And it even bleeds, like, the excitement. I mean, again, AI is a pretty exciting topic, but the particularly in our development side of things, someone will try something with AI that it's like, whoa, future wise, but like, that's some crazy stuff. Like, I'll give an example. One of our developers last week was getting into some things related to our software, where it was just like, in software, we talk about user experience and a user interface and like where the button should go. And this concept was just like, well, this process doesn't even need a user experience. Like, why can't it be a human being talking? And in the back end, it's processing what's being said and filling out fields and doing an inspection as a core piece of our product. I never have to interact with a physical device tap on a screen.
Actually, we were just playing with that last week with the new Microsoft release.
Yeah, it's like, if we hadn't given that time, an employee wouldn't have spent the time to go figure out if that's possible on their own. And that's a big side of things. But in revenue operations, sales, customer support, there's all of these things that can be automated. You won't ever figure it out unless you're given like protected space to go create.
Yeah. You should write off those 3 hours everybody does as R&D, because there's great R&D tax. There's great R&D tax credits. Like, that's all R&D times however many employees times three.
Yep. Yep.
So, Caden, it was awesome to have you. I love your story. And for everybody who's listening, because Caden's also very in the cleaning industry, commercial cleaning space. If you're a listener and you're going to ISSA, he'll be there as well. I think you're going to be there. I'll be there.
Speaking a couple different times.
So, yeah, so am I. Great. So, any other big things happening that we should keep an eye out for? Anything exciting? Or you have a podcast, right?
We do. So actually, so I'm part of the ISSA Innovation and Technology Committee, and I joined in the early stages when that was formed. And one of the things that I was just like, we should have a podcast to unify the conversations around technology and integration and robotics, and particularly in the cleaning space. So I, alongside Karina Neff, we get to host it. It is ISSA's podcast. It's called Hard Refresh. And we have different people on the show. Libby will be joining the show in the coming weeks ahead. So yeah, it's just having tough conversations, hard refresh, like you would a browser, right? Clear the cache, you know, clear your thinking. And that's what we talk about for the cleaning industry, whether it's residential, commercial, supplier side, the robotics side, all things related to innovation and technology. And so yeah, it's ISSA's brand. It's not my own, but I do have the honor and the privilege of being the host.
That's awesome. All right. So we'll go ahead and wrap up. And if you guys want to follow Caden or reach out to him, we'll make sure that we have his social media handles and any information in the show notes. Caden, thank you for stopping by.
Yep. Thanks, Libby.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.